Just then Nakata thought he heard a small laugh behind him. He turned and saw, seated on a low concrete wall next to a house, a lovely slim Siamese looking at him with narrowed eyes. "Excuse me, but would you by chance be Mr. Nakata?" the Siamese purred.
"Yes, that's correct. My name's Nakata. It's very nice to meet you."
"Likewise, I'm sure," the Siamese replied.
"It's been cloudy since this morning, but I don't expect we'll be seeing any rain soon," Nakata said.
"I do hope the rain holds off." The Siamese was a female, just approaching middle age. She proudly held her tail up straight and had a collar with the name tag. She had pleasant features and was slim, with not an ounce of surplus fat.
"Please call me Mimi. The Mimi from La Bohème. There's a song about her, too. Mi chiamano Mimi."
"I see," Nakata said, not really following.
"An opera by Puccini, you know. My owner happens to be a great fan of opera," Mimi said, and smiled amiably. "I'd sing it for you, but unfortunately I'm not much of a singer."
"Nakata's very happy to meet you, Mimi-san."
"Same for me, Mr. Nakata."
"Do you live near here?"
"Yes, in that two-story house over there, the Tanabe's house. You see it, right? The one with the cream-coloured BMW 530 parked in front."
"I see," Nakata repeated. He had no idea what a BMW was, but he did spot a cream-coloured car. That must be what she meant.
"Mr. Nakata," Mimi said, "I'm known as self-reliant, or perhaps you'd say a very private sort of cat, so I don't normally interfere in others' affairs. But that youngster, the one I believe you're referring to as Kawamura, is not what I would call the brightest kitty in the litter. When he was still young, a child ran into him with his bicycle, the poor thing, and he struck his head against some concrete. Ever since then he hasn't made much sense. So even if you are patient with him, as I see you've been, you won't get anywhere. I've been watching for a while, and I'm afraid I couldn't just sit idly by. I know it's forward of me to do so, but I had to say something."
"No, please, don't think that. I'm very happy you told me. Nakata's as dumb as Kawamura, I'm afraid, and can't get by without other people's help. That's why I get a subsidy from the governor every month. So I'm very happy to hear your opinion, Mimi."
"I take it you're looking for a cat," Mimi said. "I wasn't eavesdropping, mind you, but just happened to overhear you as I was taking a nap here. Goma, I believe you said the name was?"
"Yes, that's correct."
"And Kawamura has seen Goma?"
"That's what he told me, but Nakata can't work out what he said after that."
"If you wouldn't mind, Mr. Nakata, why don't I step in and try to talk with him? It's easier for two cats to communicate, and I'm fairly used to the way he talks. So why don't I sound him out, then summarize it for you?"
"That would be very helpful, I'm sure."
The Siamese nodded lightly, and like a ballet dancer, nimbly leapt down from the concrete wall. Black tail held up high like a flagstaff, she walked leisurely over and sat down beside Kawamura. He immediately began to sniff Mimi's rump, but the Siamese gave him a swift blow to the cheek, and the younger cat shrunk back. With barely a pause, Mimi dealt him another blow to the nose.
"Now pay attention, you brainless dingbat, you stinky good-for-nothing," Mimi hissed, then turned to Nakata.
"You've got to show him who's in charge straight off, or you'll never get anywhere. Otherwise he'll go all spacey on you, and all you get is drivel. It's not his fault he's this way, and I do feel sorry for him, but what are you to do?"
"I see," Nakata said,
not at all sure what he was agreeing to.